From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat, and it's Idaho Matters. Japanese beetles have invaded Canyon County, well, at least one small residential area of Caldwell, and the Idaho Department of Agriculture is working to eliminate these nasty pests. They haven't found very many beetles yet, but the bugs are a danger to some of Idaho's top crops, including hops, grapes, apples, and vegetable seeds, just to name a few, and the potential for lost crops, and if other states and countries quarantine those crops, well, that could be millions of dollars in lost revenue. So just what are these bugs, and how are officials fighting them? Here to answer those questions is Andrea Thompson, the department's Plant Industries Division Administrator. Welcome to Idaho Matters, Andrea.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to just provide a special report to you this morning about this invasive species threat and what it means to Idaho's agriculture production areas, having been found recently in the Caldwell area.
Yeah, it's a little scary. So let's start with, what are Japanese beetles? What are they? What do they look like?
Absolutely. Japanese beetle is, as its name would imply, is native to Japan. It was first documented in the eastern United States in the early 1900s. Adult beetles, they are about the size of your fingernail, and they will fly from the months of May to September. They have shiny green head and copper colored wing covers. And those adults, when they fly, they will congregate together and they skeletonize, which means they just munch down all of the leaf tissue on over 300 species of plants.
Whoa.
They do not have a discriminate food palate. So they really do have a voracious appetite for those top agricultural commodities you named: hop, grapes, apples, cherries, peaches. And their number one favorite in grandma's garden is rosebush.
Ooh, really? Interesting. Now, is it true, I read this, that they, when they find a good source of food, they release a pheromone and it kind of rings the dinner bell for other beetles to come running and start eating?
Absolutely. Yes, they do. They do have that pheromone release, and that's where they will congregate together and just really attack the food source in a voracious way.
Wow. Okay, so I know Idaho's been looking for Japanese beetles since about 1990. You found some on and off in places like nurseries. So my question is, how did these bugs from Japan get into Idaho? Are they hitchhiking on these nursery plants? Are there other ways to get here?
That is a great question. So yes, they do hitchhike particularly well. There is, as you mentioned, since the early 1990s, there's been state protections in place to help prevent spread to the western states. And that is, it is most often traffic pathway is for them to come through on nursery stock. That would include just plants and plants with soil, including turf, anything that comes from infested states, particularly in the east.
Gotcha. Okay, so I heard in 2013 we had an outbreak in Boise, and you found quite a few of the bugs in part of the city.
Yeah, that's correct. We actually found it in 2012, and it found 56 beetles that year in Boise. That population exploded to more than 3,000 in 2013. So at that point, it became quite obvious there was an outbreak. And at that time, it was the largest outbreak in the West. And it was the first eradication effort that was ever undertaken in the Pacific Northwest. And so from 2013 to 2018, ISDA had conducted that eradication protocol that had been suggested by our neighboring states that included annual pesticide applications to turf and turf grass, particularly in 16 parks. There was more than 3,000 residential and commercial properties, and The last year that there were any Japanese beetle trapped in Boise was in 2018. No beetles had been found since, and that eradication plan was the largest successful eradication of Japanese beetle ever documented in the United States. But it would not have been possible without support and participation from industry, from our city partners, and from the public to treat those hundreds of acres of private properties, parks, golf courses. It just would not have been successful or even possible.
Wow. We're speaking with Andrea Thompson from Idaho's Agriculture Department about Japanese beetles. And let's switch to Caldwell. So last year, the year before, you started finding Japanese beetles in Caldwell. How many have you found? And where are they at? It's just one part of Caldwell, right?
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. So 2021, there was another discovery with one Japanese beetle in a Caldwell cemetery. And we set up an expansion of our trap zone in 2022. And at that point last year, at the end of the season, we had found 77 beetles. It clearly indicated there's a newly established population. It is at the center of residential neighborhoods, kind of within a 1 mile radius, right against agricultural land off of Highway 2026 and I-84 in Caldwell.
Gotcha. And now to kill them, you're using a pesticide. What pesticide is it?
Yeah, it's one of the lowest toxicity protocols available. And it is being used by both the Western states that have had similar infestations, not at the scale or scope that ISDA has, but we are just using that template to kind of move those same pesticide use for the Caldwell infestation. And the chemicals are called acelaprin, and it is a granular pesticide. It's about the size of a grain of salt, and it just goes down onto the turf only and is then uptake by the grass plant. And as the grubs are feeding on it, it locks up their system and they can't continue to eat or develop in the turf grass. So it's a very focused, targeted pesticide. And then the second application that occurs, so that first application was in May. The second application is in July. And that one is called imidacloprid, which, again, also has very low toxicity levels as long as it's used appropriately and targeted to only being applied to turf. It's the same chemical that is used in your pet collars and for flea and tick removal. So very, very high rating for safety.
And you mentioned the first application already took place. How did it go? How did people react?
Yeah, we had really good feedback and participation from the residents that are affected. So all in all, it would not have gone so smoothly if it weren't for those residents willing to sign up and help take care of this infestation.
So we kind of touched on it a little, but why is it so important to stop these bugs in their tracks? It's I mentioned crop damage and then quarantine, and that kind of sounds kind of scary.
Yeah, it adult beetles can really cause damage to our high dollar commodities, particularly for hop. Those beetles will target the foliage first, then they're going to go after the flowers and the burrs and the cones. And so hop production is a huge potential impact there, with Idaho being the number two producer of hop in the United States. And the production area is right there neighboring Caldwell. Mm. So the danger is really high for that industry, particularly in apple and cherry fruits, the chemical controls that are existing if Japanese beetle was to become established, the chemical controls that exist means that growers are going to have to spray their apple orchards at the exact time when beetles are flying and munching down on the fruit. So it would impact the quality of production, and organic production would be particularly hard hit because it would not be sustainable if the pest was not eradicated.
And talk about quarantine, because I mean, the last thing other places want is to import the bugs if we have them. And so that's a potential danger if we get an infestation.
Yeah, there is a quarantine that does exist to help prevent introduction in nursery stock and moving it in. So buying local is a big suggestion, because there's always a risk of a production nursery from the eastern infested states maybe not getting that treatment done correctly, or perhaps something got missed and made its way through. So the risk is really high bringing plant material from those infested states. By buying local, that risk is mitigated, and you're able to get plants that you know don't have Japanese beetle and we're not artificially transporting them.
And I know the ag department's got to be concerned about, you know, if we get an infestation here that's not controlled, that we could be quarantined.
Correct. And it's the current quarantine is just on nursery stock and plants, but the beetle has a ability to fly and to start its life cycle over in turf. And so if we continue to move down the pathway of not being able to stop it, then that might be something that industry partners would want to have implemented, is a control program to prevent it moving from where it's at currently.
Gotcha. And so that's one of the things you're trying to prevent with treatment like this, is to make sure we don't have the bugs, and then it's not a problem.
Yes, exactly.
So what can folks do to keep the Japanese beetles out of Idaho? You mentioned buy local. Should we always be on the lookout for these guys? If we see something that looks suspicious, what do we do?
Absolutely, yes. Everyone can help protect Idaho agriculture. Just go to our website, AGRI, agri.idaho.gov, one, to see if they're in the treatment zone. We do have a few people who either had for sale signs in the yard. We couldn't get a hold of someone that was in the treatment zone. So just to find out more information about Japanese beetle and the treatments that are being used. And if they're not in the treatment zone, do be on the lookout for Japanese beetle. Anything that has that shiny green head and the copper colored wing covers is indicative. We do have some native lookalikes that are larger and not as shiny, but those can be reported and sent to ISDA staff, and we can help determine whether or not there is an infestation elsewhere. We do trap annually just to make sure that there isn't, though. So lastly, just stay informed and help spread the message, and appreciate the opportunity to get the public's help on early detection and a rapid response.
Exactly. And when is the next application in Caldwell? Mid-July?
It is, yes. It is scheduled for the week of July 10th. And Caldwell residents can expect to know when we plan to be out there the week prior to that.
Gotcha. Well, this has been fantastic. Good luck getting rid of the beetles. We've been speaking with Andrea Thompson, the Idaho Agriculture Department's Plant Industries Division Administrator, about fighting Japanese beetles in Caldwell. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.